Perceivers by Jay Killick. Chapter 3. Fire. Fire consumed the hall. It feasted on its wooden floors, devoured curtains at the window, licked at paper pinned to the notice board. The children's paintings blackened, their corners withered, and started to burn. The half-dozen seats of fire where petrol bombs had exploded were merging into one, carried by the accelerant which had burst from smashed glass bottles. Michael ran. He dodged the flames which poured at his trouser legs. Their heat was fierce, and each breath sucked hot air into his lungs. But the fire hadn't entirely taken hold of the building yet. His escape route was clear. He ran out through the main door and out into the open. Michael breathed deep and savoured the clean air. Around him, other teenagers were standing with shocked faces, staring back at the burning hall. A girl was crying and being comforted by a friend. Michael turned and saw what they saw. The fire flickered orange through four smashed windows and an open door. A boy ran out, screaming in terror, flames flapping around the sleeve of his sweatshirt. An adult ran past Michael and engulfed the boy with a jacket, pushed him to the ground and smothered the flames. "Are you all right?" said the adult. The boy nodded, his face streaked with sooty tears. The adult, a man with thinning hair, stood.
"Everyone, back from the building!"
He waved his arms like he was shooing a herd of cattle.
"Get back!"
The teenagers moved a few steps away from the burning hall, Michael among them. The man pulled a handheld from his pocket and dialed. He put it to his ear and asked for the fire service.
"Oi!"
Michael looked up and saw Otis and Coops picking their way through the crowd towards him. "Where's Jennifer?" said Otis. "She came out before me," said Michael. "She's not here," said Otis. "Are you sure?" Michael looked around at the ragtag collection of teenagers. He couldn't see her. "I told you," said Coops. "She must have gone back for her stuff." "We're going to have to go in and get her," said Otis. He took a gulp from the bottle of water in his hand. "Are you mad?" Michael looked at the building, its fiery glow now lighting up the night. "You need to wait for the fireman." "She could be dead by then," said Otis. Coops shot Michael an accusatory glance. "He should go. He's the one who left her in there." "Hey," said Michael, "I thought I followed her out, remember?"
"For Christ's sake!"
Otis glared at both of them. "Are we going to argue or are we going to get Jennifer?"
"I'll go," said Michael. Somehow he knew what to do. Like reading English and crossing the road, the knowledge was inside of him. He thrust his hand towards Coops.
"Give me your T-shirt."
"What?"
"My jumper's the wrong material. Give me your damn T-shirt."
Michael presented his open hand again.
"Do it," said Otis.
Grumbling, Coops took off his T-shirt, pulling it awkwardly over his plaster cast, and handed it to Michael. Michael grabbed the bottle of water from Otis's hand and poured it over the shirt. The water expanded the fibres in the material, making a crude smoke filter. Michael took a last deep breath of clean air, put the material over his mouth and nose, and headed back inside the hall. What wasn't fire was smoke. It hung in black clouds from the ceiling so thick it was impossible to see more than a metre in front of him. The heat was searing. His sweat did nothing to cool him. Michael knew he was potentially walking into his own grave, but he walked anyway. He made a conscious effort to remember each step as he hopped from one tiny piece of non-burning floor to another. He trod a windy path towards the door to the back room, his breathing laboured through the wet T-shirt, as his lungs sought to find the oxygen in the air. The door to the back room was closed. Michael reached for the handle. He let go.
Ah!
It was burning hot. The fire had heated the metal like the ring on a hob. He pulled the T-shirt from his face, wrapped it around his hand, and used it like an oven glove to open the door. Jennifer was inside, stamping on a burning shoulder bag on the floor, trying to beat out the flames. The fire wasn't as severe in the isolated room. The closed door had protected it from the main blaze. There was a fire in the corner under the tiny window, now smashed, but where Jennifer stood, it was free of flame and the air was almost clear. Michael grabbed Jennifer's hand. She kept stamping on the bag, hopelessly extinguishing one part while another started to burn.
"Leave it!"
shouted Michael over the crackling of the blazing building. The open door was sucking the heat and smoke into the back room. Jennifer's little haven from the flames was about to be engulfed. Michael's next breath was tainted with smoke. He coughed it back out again. His lungs urged him to take in more air, but he fought the instinct until the T-shirt was back over his mouth. The material had almost dried out from the heat, and the filter was becoming ineffective. He
If they didn't leave now, he felt sure they would die in there.